If we know Jesus, we would have the heart of a servant. Downstairs right now, as of about 30 minutes ago, several people have arrived. Like you, they worked long and hard all week at their jobs. Many worked yesterday for 10, 12 hours. And now they're here at 8 a.m., even though they went to Mass last night or will be going at 10 o'clock. And they're here for the next 5 hours to 6 hours to cook, serve tacos, and to clean and leave everything spotless when they're done. They're not getting paid. They're doing it to raise money for our parish. And the meat and supplies that go into preparing and serving the food today after Mass has all been donated by anonymous donors of our parish. Why would they give so much of their time? Why would they spend so much of their money to no acclaim? I don't even know who they are. If it weren't because they know Jesus, and because they know Jesus, they have the heart of a servant. In today's gospel, the apostles are completely oblivious and unable to listen and hear to what Jesus is saying. Before James and John asks for thrones of power and authority next to him, Jesus says, "We are going to Jerusalem, and the Gentiles are going to, I'm going to be handed over to the Gentiles, and they will condemn me and torture me and kill me, and on the third day I will rise from the dead." Doesn't sound like a plan where James and John would be well set to be in positions of power and authority. It doesn't make any sense, because they're not listening to him. They're only listening to what they want and what they expect, like we often do in prayer. James and John think that Christ, the new David, the new king, has come to conquer and destroy the Romans and to set himself as king of Israel once again with the prosperity and peace that was won for them by David and carried on by his son. Jesus tells them the exact opposite. That's not what's going to happen. I'm going to suffer and die. And I will rise. My kingdom is not of this world. I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you also may be. But they're not listening to Jesus. Their prayer isn't listening to Jesus. Their prayer is telling him what I want. Lord, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. That's like how we pray. Do this, do that, I want this, I want that. And when God doesn't provide what we ask, or his plans are very different, we're furious. We stop praying, we stop going to Mass, we give up in many ways. Not unlike the apostles. They struggled in the same way that we do with prayer, to learn to listen to Jesus rather than to impose on him what I want, as if I know better, as if my dreams and plans are greater than what he has for me. We have no idea. We don't realize it. We want God to be our servant, not the other way around. And I think the biggest impediment to being a servant is suffering. You know, when we're sick, we want and need people to take care of us. That's natural and normal. Whether we're very sick and we're in the hospital, and we expect and hope for good care, or we're sick at home as a child, and we want mom to put Vicks Vapor Rub on our chest. I don't know if that's a thing. In Puerto Rico, we use that for everything. And to bring us hot soup, and to change our sheets after we've sweat out a bad cold or a flu. We want to be taken care of. When we're sick, we're vulnerable. We're suffering. And we want others to serve us. When we're sick or when we're suffering emotionally, we want others to take care of us. Or spiritually, we seek out help, hopefully. Oftentimes, suffering is the biggest impediment to serve. One, because when we're sick, we're not able to help. And two, we expect to be helped rather than to do the helping. And that's natural. It's understandable. So when we're suffering, we have pretty much, well, there's three responses, I think, that people give. They either get very angry at their suffering and their problems, at God and at others, and they're filled with rage and anger most of their lives, angry and miserable. We carry that hurt, that wound that others caused us upon our shoulders, and we wear it on our sleeves. Or we become so depressed and despondent, we kind of give up and just wait to die. Or in our sufferings, as we pray and listen to Jesus, we see that he has suffered greater than ourselves so that he could suffer with us, and I'm not alone. And I offer that suffering to the Father in and through Jesus on the cross. And I realize that even in my suffering, whether it was just a suffering that's of no fault of my own or an injustice I experienced from another, I see in me the same thing Jesus suffered. And I know that my suffering has meaning and purpose for the redemption of the world. The Lord was pleased to crush him in infirmity, the prophet Isaiah tells us today. He gives his life as an offering for sin. And because of that, he shall see his descendants in a long life. And the will of the Lord will be accomplished through him. This idea of redemptive suffering is the hardest part of our Catholic faith that almost all Christian denominations really don't focus on and avoid. And the most popular and prosperous of them don't even talk about it. This idea of prosperity gospel, Joel Osteen and others, nothing but positivity. Everything is blessings and goodness and wealth and health and everything like him. But I can't relate to that. Nor can Jesus, who was not wealthy, who did not live a long life, and who did not experience blessings in this life. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light in fullness of days. Through his suffering, my servant shall justify many. Their guilt he shall bear. Suffering is that biggest impediment to inspire us to be servants for others. But when we listen and hear Jesus speak through his passion and death, through his crucifixion, through the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary, we realize that nothing can keep us from having the heart of a servant if we follow him who became a servant for us all. You know, our church historically has not done a very good job of embodying for you and modeling for you, particularly the clergy, of what it means to live the teachings of Jesus in today's gospel. While I was on a retreat in Mundelein, just north of Chicago, about an hour, the largest and arguably the most beautiful seminary in the country. It was built or completed in 1925 by Cardinal Mundelein. And his idea was, I'm going to give the very best the world has to offer to my men so that we can get the best out of them. I mean, the buildings are extraordinary. I mean, when I walk around, I look at those buildings, it's clear they spent crazy amounts of money and these things are going to last forever. Of course, I compare it to my building and, well, it's not the same, but one can dream. And so the Cardinal spent an obscene amount of money to build a property that was is absolutely gorgeous, with buildings that are going to last for centuries. He wanted it to be the premier seminary of the country, in the heart of the United States, easily accessible by most of the country, competing with the potential seminary they had or were going to build in Washington, D.C., Catholic University of America. But there, as you walk around the 3-mile loop around the lake in front of the seminary, which I did many times a day praying, there's this gorgeous, massive mansion, huge building, way off to the side, separated and apart with a fence around it and signs everywhere saying, don't walk around this building. What is this building? This massive mansion set apart from all these other buildings with tons of rooms and plenty of space and living spaces to be in for hundreds of seminarians. And I found out, well, the Cardinal built himself his own mansion off to the side for his own place to stay. And I think that's the opposite of what Jesus would have done. The servant doesn't build himself a mansion and leave everybody else with tiny rooms. It's the other way around. He goes in a tiny room and leaves the mansion for everybody else. We haven't done well. You know, 100 years ago, cardinals and bishops had their long silk train and their robes, and hundreds of years ago, they lived in opulence while the people lived in poverty. It was a scandal. It is a scandal. It's obscene in the true sense of the word. It's the opposite of what Jesus did. If you want to be the first among all, you must be the slave of all. Those were not slave quarters, trust me. I walked by it many times. It's quite ridiculous. But there it is, a legacy to our past and hopefully not a sign of what is to come. Certainly in the example of Pope Francis, who shunned the papal quarters, that was historically where the Pope lives, to live among the employees in Casa Santa Maria and eat lunch with them and everybody else who worked to clean and cook in the Vatican. An incredible model of what Jesus is talking about today. If you want to be the greatest, then be the slave. If you want to be the first, then be the servant. We haven't done a good job of embodying that. And so in today's gospel, Christ reminds us that we're called to see suffering as an invitation to walk with him more intimately, to know him more intimately, and to know that in our vulnerability and suffering, we are known and loved and understood by him like nobody else can, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual suffering. We cannot allow suffering to get in the way of the call to be a servant. Because when we become a servant, then we're listening. It's because we're listening to Jesus and not telling him what to do. When we become a servant, we find meaning and purpose in life that is fulfilling as it is exhausting. Because we can take care of others even if we're not being taken care of by others, knowing that Jesus takes care of me. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. The servant places their trust in the Lord. They know his kindness. They know his goodness. They wait on him who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us who have put our hope in you. If you know Jesus, you can't but be a servant, because nothing is more fulfilling. Nothing is more life-giving. That's the mark of a Christian. Not, Father, what can you do for me? As you remember famously, our first Catholic president said. But rather, Father, what do you need? What does the parish need? Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm your servant. Just tell me. Whatever it is, I am yours. I will do it. This requires a big conversion, a choice to begin to listen in prayer rather than only to talk and to tell, to make that transition to recognize that God is not my servant, I am his. And in being his servant, it is because I know that he has served me first in his son, Christ Jesus. The apostles really failed, especially in Mark's gospel, to hear Jesus, to understand him, to listen to him. All they could think about is themselves. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Jesus humbly says, what do you wish for me to do for you? Time and time again throughout the Gospels, people are pleading with him, Lord, Lord, Son of David, help me. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus says it over and over again in the different Gospels. What do you want me to do for you? He wants to love us. He wants to serve us, but only in the way that will help us get to heaven, if we would only listen. John and James would drink the cup Christ drank. James would be martyred. John would suffer a far worse martyrdom by standing at the foot of the cross for 3 hours, watching his Savior suffer and die naked and humiliated. They would be baptized, John by the blood of Christ from his pierced side on the cross, James by his own blood through martyrdom. But where they would be in God's kingdom, not here on earth, isn't up to Jesus to decide. You know that those who are recognized as rulers rule over the Gentiles and lord it over them and make their authority over them felt. It shall not be so among you. If you want to be the greatest, then be the servant. If you want to be first, be the slave of all. Christ did so. May we follow in his footsteps. Not building ourselves a mansion far from everyone else across the lake, but a humble little place near everyone, smaller and more simpler, so that we can serve them because Christ daily, constantly serves us.